You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. Perhaps we've all experienced those moments during casual conversations when someone delivers a seemingly throwaway line that ends up sticking to us like an energetic post-it note. It's a mildly diminishing comment, something like, oh, don't worry, you always pass second time round. Or maybe it's a throwaway line that's spoken with just enough good humour and kindness to tease us a little before it's supposed to bounce straight off and be on its way. Oh, if someone was going to forget their coat, it would be you. Or it could be the merest light-hearted observation of something we're doing or something we seem to be being or something we are trying to do and experience, and then boom, that little energetic transmission, it ends up landing on us like a poisonous mini spell. These mini spells, they splat onto your auric field and then they burrow first into the third layer of the auric field, that layer that filters ideas and creates belief systems, and then it tunnels further through to this sixth layer, affecting your ability to respond, to make choices, to act upon your decisions. It becomes an energetically embedded untruth waiting to be proved true. Once that mini spell has taken root, it becomes part of the energetic signalling that sits in your energy field. It ticks away in the energy grids that you have, and each tick carries a small but powerful activation that feels like a mix of limitation and manipulation and even foreboding. And you ask, could that really be true? What evidence of this truth has there been? And what's the best way, perhaps, of me preventing this outcome from happening again? And what if I go ahead anyway, and then what I don't want to happen happens despite my hopes that it might not? And boom, there it is again, foreboding, manipulation, limitation. You focus upon it, and then your manifestation field will obligingly make it so. And so the soft curse becomes a hard-edged jinx. My first real experience of this, conscious experience of it, was when I was pregnant with my second child. When I was around 5 months pregnant with my second child, my dear father unexpectedly passed away. He passed away from a heart attack. Now, unfortunately, about 2 years earlier, when I was about to give birth to my first child, my mother had actually died as well. She'd been sick for a very, very long time with something that wasn't curable. And yes, she died. And she died right at the end of my pregnancy. Now, my dad's funeral, my very upset elder sister actually said something to me that stuck with me, think post-it notes and jinxes, for a very long time. And I don't imagine for a minute that this was her intention. But what she said to me was, please don't ever get pregnant again, because somebody always dies when you get pregnant. Now, whether it was intended to be or not, that was one heck of a clout. And it burrowed straight into my energy field and it really did take a hold. So here's the thing. How do you think that I would feel about even possibly contemplating getting pregnant again after someone had said that to me? And if I were to get pregnant again, what effect would that single comment have had through the entirety of the pregnancy? Now, at no point did I think, well, Mum had been ill for a long time, and though she tried her best, her very best, to keep going for as long as she could so she could see my beautiful new baby, well, Mum just didn't quite make it. That's all that happened. She tried. She tried really, really hard, but she got to the finishing line, but she didn't get through it. But that's not what I thought. I thought about what my sister had said. And at no point did I think, oh, poor Dad, he absolutely adored Mum. She was his life and his soulmate, and his heart was truly broken. It must have been so hard for him to find the will to continue without her, because I know how he felt about her. But no, all I could hear was my sister's unintended soft curse. From the moment I found out I was pregnant with my third child then, although I was truly joyful, joyful beyond belief actually, there was this constant, insistent, sinister nagging. It was like a foreboding that if someone, anyone actually, whether they were close to me or not, if anyone were to pass away over the next 8 months, then my sister was speaking a hard truth to me, and that in some way that death, that passing, would have been my selfish fault. And it took the edge off the pregnancy. All the joy that I wanted to experience was constantly tempered by this feeling that to be truly joyful in my pregnancy might, through this foreboding, create some kind of injury for somebody else. I call these comments soft curses. I don't think my sister would genuinely have meant to curse me in any way, and I think she would be very, very upset if she thought that I thought that, and I genuinely don't. I think she was clutching at straws. I think she was very, very upset. You know, such a profound sadness she would have been feeling too. And the fact that it happened twice. And I think what she was trying to do was find meaning in this situation. But her comment did weevil into me. And although on a practical, commonsensical point of view, I knew that it made absolutely no sense in the grand schemes of things that there could be anything linked, on some level, I still did have a very small belief that because it happened, and it happened twice, and because it was so obvious my sister had actually observed it, and because she felt obliged to bring this to our attention, well, it felt like in some way there was a modicum of truth in it, even though there wasn't. And I wonder if you now want to know whether that third pregnancy, whether during that third pregnancy someone died or not. Interesting, isn't it? How sticky and contagious these soft curses are. That soft curse looks for evidence of its own truth. Well, regretfully, yes, I did hear of someone passing away during that third pregnancy. It was a very old lady, very old. She was in her late 90s. Was that because of me and my cursed state? Or was it because after a long, full and incredibly happy life, this dear lady had finally gone to join her angels? I'm sensible enough now to know that people do pass away all the time. And for those of you that may be on the fence a bit with this, I get it. I can reassure you, though, that thankfully my childbearing days are well and truly behind me. All I'd say is that it's most definitely the comment that curses you and not the event that takes place. Just remember that. And once the soft curse takes up residence in your energy field, it will look for evidence of its own truth. Soft curses are far more common than the dramatic hexes that we might imagine from Disney and folklore and, you know, the fables and films that we see. Soft curses don't need to be created through any kind of elaborate rituals. They don't require crafting spells. They slip onto our energy fields and then move through the most ordinary of conversations into the deeper layers. They don't require candles or incantations, deliberate magical practices. They don't even have to be conscious as curses in the first place. The person that delivers them might think they're simply an interesting comment. But soft curses, for them to persist, they just rely on the simple but profound power of any kind of limiting belief that's transmitted from one person to another, and at which point that receiver looks for evidence of its truth. And if they find it, no matter how tenuous, even a chink of it, then that foreboding manipulates their choices and decisions evermore. That soft curse has kind of struck home. And in the case of my sister, perhaps her comment might have prevented me from ever wanting to have another child if I hadn't unpacked it in the way that I had. So soft curses, you'll recognise them when you hear them. Here's another. You're so unlucky with timing. There is always a mismatch for you. Or another, have you noticed your car breaks down every time you go on holiday? Or this, oh, you always end up choosing the most difficult path. Or this, I don't know why you do the lottery, you never win it. These comments are very real examples of soft curses, and you can tell they're operating because of a few simple indicators. Most of all, you're left with that sense of foreboding about what might happen if you then attempted to do something that's related to that soft curse comment. I won't expect to pass until my second attempt. I will take out extra motor breakdown insurance when I go on holiday. I'll feel I'm somehow not on the list of those fortunate souls that receive a life-changing windfall.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
If we were to look at soft curses honestly, then I think we need to acknowledge that although most people's motivations are clear and true and there's nothing mischievous about it, some people's motivations do fit way on the other side of a very complex spectrum. Yes, there are those innocent moments when someone's words carry unintended weight, a grandmother's anxiety, let's say, translating into repeating warnings that gradually limit a child's sense of adventure, let's say, or a friend's past disappointments affecting how they talk about the potential in your relationships. That will always plant seeds of doubt. But I think we'd be naive to assume that all soft curses emerge from innocent origins. And that's one of the things I would like to invite you to consider. The vast majority will be innocent throwaway lines. They're just as potent, but they're not consciously intended to do harm. But there will be some people who actually will create these soft curses genuinely. Some people understand exactly what they're doing when they repeatedly make statements designed to undermine a confidence or limit a choice or to redirect a behaviour even when they're not there. They've discovered that this kind of soft curse offers a remarkably effective form of control over someone else while maintaining something of a complete deniability of their involvement in it. I mean, after all, they could say they were just sharing an observation or expressing a genuine concern that they had. They probably wouldn't think of it even as a curse of any kind. I suppose maybe I'm being a bit generous. I think sometimes they wouldn't, but most certainly I think sometimes they know that it is one, of course. So think about the difference then, as we're unpacking this. Think about the difference between someone saying, "I notice you seem tired lately. Perhaps you're taking on too much." Versus the person who regularly plants statements inside your energy field like, "You always burn out when you get ambitious." Or perhaps someone that says, "People in our family aren't built for high pressure situations, you know." Those examples are the ones that carry a more calculated quality, don't they? I think they are designed in some ways to establish some form of limiting belief that influence future choices rather than convey genuine concerns. I suppose the genius of a well-crafted soft curse is its control mechanism. It lies in its ability to shape behaviour without appearing to do so, to control choice without actually having to even be in the room when that choice is made. And unlike direct commands or obvious manipulations, these curses work by establishing themselves as apparently natural, neutral. They're observations. They're simply observations about something that appears to be reality. They're a bit covert, I think, in how they operate. When someone repeatedly says to you, "You never follow through on your plans," or perhaps they say, "You start things, but you have problems finishing them." I don't think they're merely commenting. They're almost judging, and there's a judgy quality in there at the same time. They're programming an expectation that becomes increasingly difficult to escape. And what happens is the soft curse seeks the truth of itself. It seeks to find the evidence of itself. So this form of control is particularly troubling, I think, because it appears to come from a sense of caring and wisdom. But it may be that it just isn't. So watch out for that. The manipulator can always claim they were just being honest or just trying to help you see reality or something you'd missed. But meanwhile, you find yourself increasingly constrained by these new beliefs, and you don't even realise an external imposter, this soft curse, is in your energy field taking root. And if there is an imposter that's taking up residence in your energy field, I would say it needs to be dealt with. It has to be evicted as quickly as possible. Your manifestation field can't distinguish between the true beliefs that serve you and the false beliefs that constrain you. The manifestation field simply responds to what you hold as true in your energy field, and it seeks to provide you with whatever it is that you're looking for. When you accept a soft curse, whether through repeated exposures or because it resonates with a truth in you somewhere, or you're looking for the truth of it, well, your manifestation field begins reorganizing reality to match that belief so that it can be delivered to you. This is where the old wisdom, "If you believe it, so mote it be," becomes particularly relevant. Soft curses are devastatingly effective manifestation activators because they often carry a quality of unshakable certainty, a predictability about it. Even when the original statement had no basis in reality, there's usually some element of it that feels like it might be plausible. Otherwise, it wouldn't be able to take hold in the first place.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
These soft curses are mini spells. They splat onto your auric field, where they then burrow first into the third layer of the auric field. That's the layer that filters ideas and creates beliefs. And then it tunnels through to the sixth layer, which affects your ability to respond, because that is where you make your choices and act upon decisions from. And it becomes an energetically embedded untruth that's waiting to be proven true. So when it comes to these soft curses in your energy field, what is it that you need to look at first? Well, there are some things that I'd suggest we really explore. Like any good hunter, I would suggest you need to know how to spot what you are hunting. Soft curses, I think, carry some really distinctive energetic signatures, and you can learn to recognise them because of that. So if you feel that there could be a soft curse, then see whether or not you can compare it with some of these signature traits. And if it comes up as having more than, say, one or two of them, then most likely it is one. I'm not guaranteeing it is one, of course, but most likely it is. So the first of all, they often include some kind of absolute, you know, words like never, always, every time. And that creates a framework for some kind of limitation to exist in. You could say, oh, it'll happen for 28 days. Okay, so your expectation then would be that it happens for 28 days, right? A comment like, oh, whenever you go on holiday, you always get sick and then you're really ill for 7 days after you arrive back. All right? It has some kind of absolute, never, always, every time, or some level of time in it. And they tend also to be linked to specific situations, or specific choices, or some kind of aspiration. And so what happens is that, let's take the holiday, it would say, okay, well, you always get sick when you're on holiday and you stay sick for 7 days after you get back. That can be a pretty fair observation, can't it? But it's very, very specific. It's specific. It's being sick. It's specific. It's when you're on holiday. And it's an absolute. When you're on holiday, you get sick and you continue to be sick for 7 days. You see how these soft curses are crafted. And then it has this foreboding that goes with it, that goes beyond a normal caution, that will make you think twice then about whether or not that thing is a good thing to do. Someone might say, would you like to come on holiday? And your response, even if you don't speak it out loud, could be, yeah, but when I go on holiday, I do tend to get sick, and then I'm sick all the time that I'm there and for the 7 days after I get back. And whammy, boom, there's a foreboding. You've already decided what's going to happen. And that then limits you. Do you choose to go on holiday or not? Especially if when you get there, all that's going to happen is you're sick. So when you find yourself avoiding certain choices, not because you have practical concerns about them, but actually because of some kind of inexplicable sense that something bad might happen, or you might be operating under the influence of a soft curse and expecting something bad to happen. Well, that fatalistic certainty, particularly when it doesn't align with your common sense or inner intuition, well, that often signals that you're hosting someone else's soft curse. And that will limit you and your beliefs about what's possible or safe for you. Soft curses can be sourced from someone else, of course, but they can also be self-generated. We can take on a soft curse that somebody's given us, but actually sometimes we just soft curse ourselves, and we hear ourselves saying things like, if I try that, it'll only end badly. Or it can be things like, oh, I'm always unlucky in love. Well, so mote it be, is what I would say to that. Don't accidentally self-curse yourself. You might need to learn to filter and censor all of these kinds of conversations inside and outside of you for just a little while, and see how many of these soft curses you find, and then how to unpack them and disassemble them and deactivate them before they have a chance to take residence in your energy field. It really won't take you long. And I think I've often wondered whether, for example, we can bring these situations on upon ourselves. Let me give you an example. I hope this is a good one. Signs can sometimes be posted on the walls in train stations or government offices or retail shops, near the tills usually, or in the main parts of the offices, where you talk to members of staff and they tell you that the person serving you will not accept any rudeness or violence from you, right, at all. No, zero tolerance, okay? I think in some ways that might also be, if a little tenuously, some form of soft curse. I've been thinking about this a lot recently. It asks you, as you read that poster, to think about your potential level of rudeness and your capacity for violence while in that commercial space. Well, I'm not rude, and I'd never be violent. It's only when I read those notices that I even think about it. Could I be seen as rude? Might I ever give the impression I could become aggressive? If I'm looking for it in myself, could it appear? I think one of the most telling signs of soft curses is that distinctive sense of manipulation, that distinctive sense of limitation, and the foreboding that it can create, and the looking for the truth of it. Can you find truthful evidence of it? So that feeling like you've been warned, and if you go ahead, you already know what the outcome will be for you. It's not genuine intuition telling you to be cautious or to remind you about your manners. It's more like a pre-programmed certainty that things are going to go wrong in a very specific way if you want your own way, if you want to speak up emphatically, if you're not prepared to accept whatever it is that you're given, even if it's in a really polite way. So you end up on edge. And then the interaction could go pear-shaped just from there. You expect the person in the office to be looking for some form of rudeness from you, maybe looking for an indication of your aggression level. And to be honest, I bet they'll find it if they're really looking for it. So mote it be, even when it's not actually there. The soft curse has essentially installed a prediction program that keeps you from taking certain actions that you really need to take or making particular choices because you feel manipulated in some way from feeling it's okay to speak up or persist. And that foreboding has a quality of inevitability to it. Normal caution feels like, I should be careful not to give the wrong impression of myself here when I'm asking this person for assistance. I will be polite, but I do have an expectation of the service I would like to receive. But soft curse foreboding, that feels a little bit different. It feels like, this is going to end badly for me if I'm too forthright when I ask for the service that I am here for. And that certainly is the curse speaking. It's not your inner truth and knowing. You know yourself. You'd never be rude. You'd never be aggressive or violent. You simply want to receive what it was that you went to the office for, or this service that you were hoping for. And if you question in any way, well, you don't want that person to automatically assume that you're not the kind of person that should be in that space. I would also ask you to do some serious catching of you cursing yourself, because I would put money on it you're probably doing it in some way, shape or form. This is post, I think, perhaps the most important one of all, really, because we can become our own worst soft curse transmitters. Notice when you catch yourself using absolute language about your capabilities, things like, oh, I never remember names, I'm terrible at maths, I always mess up presentations. These statements, these internal dialogues, they're particularly powerful because they're coming from the most trusted source. They're coming from you. And when you repeatedly tell yourself, I'm not good with technology, your manifestation field takes this as an absolute truth and begins reorganizing your experiences accordingly. So mote it be. Be especially aware then of statements where you predict any kind of negative outcomes based on something that's happened in past experiences. I'll probably mess this up like I always do, you might say, or, oh, knowing me, something's going to go wrong, or anything else that are going to create an expectation pattern that your energy field then has to work to fulfill. Replace your absolute statements or anybody else's with more accurate ones. So instead of, I never remember names, try something like, I can struggle with names sometimes. And instead of, oh, I always mess up presentations, consider instead, I'm still developing my presentation skills and I'm improving all the time. This gives your energy field wiggle room, and it enables it to create all sorts of much better feeling positive experiences. And once you begin to recognize these soft curses, you will begin to notice them everywhere. And they often sound like casual observations, but they carry this sticky quality that makes them memorable. And someone might say, you know how Sarah is with money, she'll never save enough for that house. That's definitely a soft curse. Or, poor Christopher, he always picks the wrong women. That's a soft curse as well. Listen for statements that include a name or something like you, followed by limiting language. You're terrible with directions. You never remember names. She's so disorganized. These sound pretty harmless, but they're actually installing beliefs into an energy field. Watch for comments that create frameworks for limitation, especially ones with time. Every time you get excited about something, something goes wrong. You always start these projects, but you never finish them. These are soft curses. And if they become a held belief, then the energy field will embed them and respond to them and make the truth of them evident to you. You may have found that some of the comments that I have been saying today strike a chord with you. And if that's the case, grab a piece of paper, write them down and unpack them. And I'll get to that in a minute. I'll actually take you through a process. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit about family, because family conversations are really rich with soft curses. Not just about my sister. I'm not trying to take a pop at her. I don't have an axe to grind with her, by the way. Not at all. I love her very much. But family conversations often reference patterns and history. Family's been around us long enough to be able to find the evidence that we might miss, you know. So they might say, we're not a family that's very good with technology. People in our family always struggle with their weight. None of us are naturally academic. No one here knows how to manage money. These generate intergenerational limitations. And these soft curses can persist for decades because they are passed down ancestrally in conversations. They can actually infiltrate the DNA. So you are now all about noticing these soft curses, how they move around you. And I'd invite you to experiment with this. So if you think you can spot what might be a soft curse, and if you think you've found one, I'd like you to simply observe it. I want you to break it apart instead of believing it straight away. Say to yourself, okay, then let's unpack this a bit. Let me write it down. Could this be a soft curse? Has it got that emphatic quality? Has it got a limiting quality? Is there a person that it's talking about? Has it got this specific timing, this repetition? How does it make me feel? Does it land with a thud in my energy field? Do I feel like it's sticky and I can't get it to move? These are all clues. That's the sticky spell as it's flung into your auric field. When there's a person, a time, an event, and an inevitable outcome, a feeling of limitation, a feeling of foreboding, a feeling that in some way there is a truth to this. And yet it is not really a truth you can accept. And especially, you must not immediately try to look for evidence or to substantiate any part of it. Don't even look for evidence to be able to dispute it. Don't look for evidence at all, because that enables it to burrow further into the auric field. Don't try and defend yourself. Don't try and be over-dependent on how other people talk to you. Don't correct how other people talk to you. Don't accept what you or anybody else says to you as true without breaking it down and questioning it first. Sometimes you'll think about things a few hours, maybe days later. It's like they cycle, like they're in a tumble dryer, turning over and over in your mind. That's the soft curse trying to embed. All right, it's trying to get more deep. Normal comments, they just fade away, but soft curses don't. They have this kind of tumbly quality of persistence. They keep coming back to your consciousness. They keep seeking your ownership. And if nothing else, trust your initial gut response that when something feels off about a comment, even if it was said without apparent good grace, kind intention, giggles, humour, well, your energy field knows when it's being programmed. It knows when it's under attack. It knows when it's being splatted. It knows when it's being invaded. And even when your conscious mind doesn't immediately recognize it, your energy field will, and it will be trying to tell you. So please listen. And the beautiful thing about soft curses is that they will lose their power the moment you genuinely stop believing in them. They're not absolute realities, you see. They're transmitted beliefs that require your ongoing acceptance for them to remain in your energy field. So first, identify the soft curse clearly. What exactly is this belief? Write it down. I always have bad luck with timing, you might write, or I never succeed at business ventures, you might write, or whatever the specific programming is trying to be. And then trace it back to its source. Don't be slavish with this. You know, when did you first hear about this yourself? Who said it? Understanding that it came from outside you, understanding where it comes from inside of you. Maybe it comes from someone else's fear, disappointment or manipulation. Maybe it's from something that happened that felt similar and you yourself are trying to get a grip on yourself because of that. Well, let's loosen that grip. And then I would consciously withdraw your acceptance of belief and ownership from that soft curse. You don't need to argue with it. You don't need to prove it wrong. You simply recognize that you've got the sovereign right to choose what operates in your energy field. And so you might say to yourself internally, or you could say it aloud, looking at yourself in a mirror, this is not my truth. I choose not to carry this belief anymore. You might feel some resistance at first. Part of you may have become quite attached to the limitation because it feels protective or familiar, or maybe it means that you're not the one that has to do the adding up or be the one that actually uses the computer. Just work gently with that resistance. Acknowledge that it's okay for you not to want to do the adding up or to be the one that's required to use the computer. You don't have to be cursed to do that. Acknowledge why the belief might have felt necessary and recognize that you can, if you want to choose. You can choose differently or you can choose the same, but it shouldn't be imposed upon you and you shouldn't need to evidence it with some kind of required truth. And finally then, replace whatever space you clear inside of yourself with this curse with an authentic truth. What did you actually want to believe about this area of your life? Maybe it's, I go on holiday, I feel fantastic, I come home feeling healthier than I have in many, many years. Maybe it's, I'm so good at mathematics, I surprised myself. Choose something that feels genuine and grounded in your experience and don't just choose a positive opposite that you could never see happening. If the soft curse was, I always had bad timing, maybe your new truth might be, I trust my timing, or I make decisions that feel right for me at the time when they feel right. You see how this works? You can unprogram these beliefs. These soft curses. Your energy field is your sovereign territory. You can choose what is embedded in it and what is not. You get to choose the beliefs that operate there, and you have the power to evict anything that no longer serves your highest good. Soft curses only have the power you give them. Withdraw that power, and they simply dissolve. That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetic Show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can uplevel any part of your life.